Greetings, friends and fellow Freedom Screamers. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer in upstate New York, checking in with you on Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend, 2020. So, have I got some juicy nuggets for you all tonight? Oh, the good Lord pointed me in the direction of a certain press conference that took place this weekend, in which a stunning admission was made by the governor of California. So, I don't have a TV. I don't own a TV. I haven't had a TV in 30 or 5 or 40 years. Once in a while, if I'm, you know, in a room with somebody at somebody else's place and they've got one on, and you know, may have to suffer through a couple minutes. Well, I happened to be in someone's house. TV was there. The TV was off. I had the opportunity to turn it on and see if anything was on of interest. So, like, walking through into another dimension for me, because I'm grounded in reality, I'm not grounded in TV, and everything on TV is completely mind-warping, I can tell you that from an objective point of view, looking at what I saw. But didn't the good Lord take me to C-SPAN 2? And C-SPAN 2 is something I actually used to watch in the past few decades ago. It's basically live news stuff. It's actual things that are taking place. It's press conferences, interviews, protest rallies, on-site, you know, what, all kinds of stuff. And it's all live and it's all, you know, it's all very, very real. It's not, there's no spin, there's no prostitutes, there's no makeup and, you know, mini skirts with women that look like they're about to go out, you know, hooking on New York City streets, you know, looking for a good time. So it's straight up, and C-SPAN 2 is pretty good. So don't I happen to blow by C-SPAN 2, and there's Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. I've heard him speak in the past, and I know basically know what his deal is. He's a hardcore global socialist. And let's not forget, people, that socialism is the redistribution of poverty. And so Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is standing in front of a military installation talking about how the Spanish flu had something to do with that, where he was standing in 1918. And he went on to give his press conference, and doesn't he admit, you'd have to pull it up for yourself, people, to see where it is in the time. I don't have the video in front of me, but it's posted online. Go to C-SPAN, go to Gavin Newsom's most recent press conference for Memorial Day weekend. I believe it was on Friday is when it took place. But it'll be right at the top of the list of Gavin Newsom's press conferences. And doesn't he admit how impactful the Jesuits are on his upbringing, were on his upbringing, and are on his life? And he made a specific point after saying he was a Roman Catholic, and okay, that's fine, be whatever religion you want to be. He specifically came out and said, I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't have the exact quote in front of me. Pull it up yourself, people. Watch him say this yourself. If you have any question about how powerful the Jesuits are at the highest levels in our country's politics, media, financial institutions, learning institutions, universities, etc. And I'll go over a few names in a second. But I usually don't go here because it's, you know, people are like, well, what does that have to do with anything now? How does it affect COVID? How does it affect coronavirus lockdown? We have bigger issues, more immediate, like, you know, get food on the table, get back to work, and this and that. So, you know, I as a person who's been exposing the Vatican all my broadcasts and blogging career, I don't know if I'd call it a career because I don't get paid to do it, but it is a passion and it's something that I do. And so in all my activities, blogging and broadcasting and all the different venues we get out, all over social media and the things that I've done, you know, protesting and jury nullification flyers and courtroom observing and bullhorning the sheriff in Monroe County, New York, and all these other things. During my career doing all these things, I've often exposed the Vatican and the influence and the power the Vatican has over all of our institutions, banking, finance, very powerful. I won't divert and make that case right now because I want to get back to Newsom and what he said. And he said, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I want to say how impactful, I believe the word he used was impactful, the Jesuits were on my upbringing. Now, he said upbringing. That means he's going back many years. He's not just saying, you know, he happened to be with them the other day. This is part, an integral part of his career. He admitted to being a Jesuit. They're usually not that bold. They operate from behind the scenes. And it's very important that people pick up on this and realize that what are the Jesuits? I'll put it in simple terms, and we can open up certain aspects of this and go into further detail as we go along. But long and short, okay, the Jesuits are a priesthood, or an order in the priesthood of the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic hierarchy has different orders, meaning different groups, different gangs, different clubs. And they have the Franciscans and the Dominicans. And they have the Jesuits. The Jesuits are the Pope's militia, and they call themselves the Pope's militia. Okay, so think about that. Now, if you read and the Jesuits are basically the intelligence agency and the militia for the Pope and the Vatican of Rome. Now, they don't go run around in the woods with bows and arrows and, you know, laying booby traps and playing G.I. Joe. These guys are high-level infiltrators, spies. They come across as entrepreneurs, educators, financiers, broadcasters. They're everywhere. I'll give you a great example. A few years back, I was listening to the radio about 6:30 in the morning when I was getting up, and Bill Bennett, who is the former education czar and drug czar, I believe under Reagan, he was under multiple presidents, neocon warmonger, globalist all the way. He had a radio broadcast, and he had Peter King on. Peter King was a congressman from New York. He's the guy that rammed through the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is where we really had a major fork in the road, and we started, I don't want to use the word losing our freedoms, because I don't believe that's the case. You never lose them. But they started violating our freedoms at that point. Peter King is a hardcore, militarized police state, you know, pro-war, everything that you wouldn't really want in a peaceful, healthy, prosperous world. He's a corporatist. He's a domineer. He's a control freak. He's a warmonger. He's a neocon. You know, the far left and the far right kind of meet back in the center usually, and you wind up with international and global socialist warmongers who work at the behest of the corporations and their banking financiers and the royal families who hold the big block stocks in those banks and financial institutions. So Peter King was on Bill Bennett's Morning in America. All right, so Bill Bennett's got the radio broadcast in the morning, and Peter King was the guest. And Peter King was making all these absurd arguments, like we have to have more, you know, military equipment going to Afghanistan. We need to stay in Afghanistan for a longer time. We need to do this. We need to do that. Pushing the heavy-duty war, the war state, the security, national security state, the police state, the international conquest, the international war thing. It was not good. And so Bill Bennett, and he started making all these bizarre, you know, horrible arguments. You know, we got to have the CIA get bigger, and we got to have more military contracts. We need more bombs and planes, and I don't care how broke the country is. We need to give more billions to the Lockheed Martin and all these military suppliers, and we need to, you know, get involved in this country and that country. We need the resources. All these Machiavellian things. And he says, Bill, and this is Peter King now, after making all these arguments, he says, you know, we got to have all these wars and stuff. And he says, Bill, I know these arguments I'm making are very difficult, you know, to get across to people and difficult case to make, and it's difficult to convince the public of what I'm saying, but we need to use our Jesuit skills to do it. And Bill Bennett laughed and giggled. And so, I mean, the both of them, and go right down the list, they're everywhere. The heads of most of the national intelligence agencies, the NSA, the CIA, the DOD, Department of Defense. Look at their pedigree. Look at the universities they attended to, and almost all of them are Jesuit-run universities. So, and this information can be found online. I'm not going to get into opening that up right now because I have a few other things to talk about. But Gavin Newsom admitted he was a Jesuit in his press conference over the weekend, and I thought that was precious because I've been saying for years, including for about a year, over a year on the Republic Broadcasting Network, when I had my own broadcast there, exposing the Vatican and the power that the Vatican has over many institutions. The one that particularly irked me was the power over the courts. And I saw it wherever I would go and do courtroom observing or get involved with somebody who's having a difficult time in court with a corrupt judge or a corrupt district attorney. And there was always, you know, the vicar general or the archbishop or Catholic Charities or some Jesuit thing. National Liberty Alliance had that problem where they came out and said, we are Jesuits and we can offer you protection. And the National Liberty Alliance told them to go pound salt. And from there it was downhill, and now the National Liberty Alliance has been infiltrated, and it's pretty much, I don't want to use the word defunct, but they don't have any of the presence they did because and I feel bad for the two founders of the National Liberty Alliance because I think they had some good ideas, but they basically got threatened, so they had to cave in and turn the organization over to the infiltrators, and that was it. So, but we move on and move on to bigger and better things. So here we are now. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. And we have several new social media platforms, by the way. So I'm hoping you all out there who are listening can check us out. I think we're on MeWe and what was the other one? Parler. I'll get the list for my next blog, but look for us out there on different media platforms. We're just trying to get this word out to people because we can explain a lot that's not being explained by either the mainstream media or even people in the alternative media. You know, where are the alternative media guys talking about, you know, where you stand under jurisdiction and the whole citizenship versus American national thing and the repatriation and, you know, how to operate in court and how to organize resistance if nonviolent, and how to prepare yourself in physical ways. So, anyway, back to Gavin Newsom being a Jesuit. That's the first thing I wanted to share with you all. And if you go to C-SPAN 2 or just type in his press conference, there'll be a gazillion different versions of it. I happen to see it on C-SPAN 2. That's the only reason I'm mentioning that. Because I like to give my sources where I come up with this stuff. Where do you come up with this stuff? Well, C-SPAN 2 on Saturday, and it was either live or it was a rebroadcast from the previous within the past 12 hours. But when we went online, it was the top most recent press conference by Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, where he said the Jesuits were very impactful on his life and his upbringing. And he made a specific point of, you know, basically, I guess, thanking them. It was more than a slight mention. He made a specific point of making people aware of that. You have to remember their motto is hide in plain sight, because when it's right in front of people, they're less likely to think it's a conspiracy and think, well, it's right there. So somebody would say something, wouldn't they? No, that's how they get away. They sometimes hide right in front of you. It's called hide in plain sight. It's the motto of the enemy, and it's something you have to look out for. So often they just put it right in your face. Yep, I'm a Jesuit. What are you going to do about it? It's called the arrogance of power, and if that's the pinnacle of evil, and from there throughout history, it's only downhill for the people who say things like that and who execute international globalist policies that basically trample the people of sovereign nations, sovereign countries, and to bring in this global government, this global socialism that William Cooper talked about very well, that the people in William Cooper was more or less, I would say, one of us. But the enemy talks about it. They put it in your face. They hide in plain sight is their motto. Adolf Hitler's top people said, if you tell a lie and keep repeating it, and the lie is really big, and you make it even bigger, and just keep repeating it, repetition, people will eventually believe it. They don't have to have a lot of evidence in front of them. That's why this whole coronavirus thing is so important, that we get a grip on our minds and not submit to the fear. Once we submit to the fear, the enemy can get away with anything. They can make you do anything. Sit, give me your paw, roll over, play dead, shake, go lay down, stay home, don't go out, stay 6 feet away, shut your business down. all the states are opening up, and guess what? Nobody's dropping dead. Do you see anybody dropping dead in the streets in Georgia or Michigan or any of these other places where people are congregating? I just went to the store today. About 50% of the people were wearing masks, and about 50% of the people were not. And with that much open contact with people not wearing masks, there would have to, if this was a really severe pandemic and it was highly contagious and highly, you know, dangerous, you would see spikes and hot spots developing and mini outbreaks all over the place and massive numbers jacking. And it's not happening. And the government's really upset about that. They're desperate to keep the people in fear. And people keep thinking that this is dangerous to gain power and control and drive the little guy out of business and leave only the big box store standing. Example, huge Shake Shack, Walmart, Boeing, of course, and all the multinational corporations are all getting bailout money, and the little stores all around town, around the county, getting nothing. They can't get it. They can't get through on the phone. It's not showing up in their bank account. They can't find the application. The application doesn't get processed. By the way, the application is a contract that you do not want to enter into with the government. So resist at all costs taking anything from the government. And if you do get a check, sign it with your name and then write the words "gift accepted without prejudice or settlement." And if you write that, once again, gift accepted, so you're declaring it as a gift, without prejudice or settlement, that means they're not buying anything from you. They're not buying your birthright. They're not buying your farm, your house. They're not leaning your property. There's all kinds of stuff in the fine print of these applications and contracts that people don't even understand. They just want the money. So they fill out the application for the small business loan or for the personal, whatever it is, unemployment, this or that. And as soon as you enter into another contract with this corporate government, I mean, they got you locked in. You're signing on that dotted line. And you're signing a lot more things away than just, it's not just getting the money, okay? They have all kinds of stuff hiding in these contractual agreements, all kinds of obligations that you don't want to be under, especially to the corrupt gang that's pretending to be a lawful government. And they're not. So we'll get into that on a future broadcast. So beware of the Jesuits, and Newsom admitting that he's a Jesuit really doesn't leave much more, you know, room for people to criticize. Well, what do you think the Vatican has to do with it? What do you think? The Vatican, Rome runs everything? Well, the governor of California just admitted he's a high-level Vatican operative. The Jesuits are a very elite group. You don't get into the Jesuits, you know, just not like, you know, working at a fast food restaurant or, you know, going to school or anything like that. This is an elite group of high, very intelligent, very well-spoken, high-level thinkers that think on multiple different levels. And power and conquest is their main goal, to get all the nations under Rome. The Pope's already said that he's the ruler of the world, secular and physical government. Yeah, secular, which are physical governments, and the spiritual world. Rome has already laid claim to both. I don't agree that they can have it, and I dispute that. I challenge that. You don't have my country. You don't have my soul. The Pope is not infallible when he speaks in public. He's not perfect when he speaks in public. That's a complete farce. I don't have to have permission. The Pope cannot keep me from getting into heaven. That's another myth that the Church likes to push. So there's all kinds of garbage coming out of the Catholic Church that has nothing to do with the Lord and Savior, you know, Jesus, and nothing to do with. So anyway, so I thought that was very interesting. Gavin Newsom admitting he's a Jesuit. We have major corporations getting bailed out and little guys getting nothing. I'm sure some of you out there are experiencing that right now. I've heard the unemployment, there are 20,000 claims a day, and they're processing, 20,000 calls are coming in, and they're processing 200. I mean, that's just, you know, they're never going to get caught up, and people are going to just completely go broke. That's why we have to start resisting and just saying no, and have to urge our employers to find their courage and open back up and put their people back to work. Just ignore the jurisdiction of the state. People have to stop being afraid to go to court. This is why I've been doing this, so we can gain some confidence when we go to court in groups, large groups, make a public affair out of it, videotape people and do interviews on the front steps, pass out jury nullification flyers, which you can find at courtroomwatch.com, download it. It's in a PDF file. Just scroll down until you see jury nullification letter. And that's a great thing to pass out at the courthouse. That's telling the people around the courthouse who might have, a lot of them might be getting on a jury pretty soon. Go down on jury selection day, you'll have a lot of potential jurors. And it tells them that, hey, if the law sucks and you think it's wrong, you can say that person's not guilty, even though they technically broke the law. So if somebody's on trial for, you know, something that you know, whatever, pick your nonviolent crime, some statutory offense, something where nobody was hurt, nobody was injured, somebody had something in their possession, and it was against the law. Arbitrary stuff, victimless crimes. And so the jury has every right to say, no, you're not guilty because the law is wrong. Yeah, sure, you might have broke that, you know, you might have actually technically, you know, violated that statute. But if the statute's not fair and it's not just and it's wrong and you didn't have any, it's not a criminal act, and it's obviously just some stupid statutory thing, you know, like your tires were bald or, you know, you had a wrong color sticker on your car or something absurd like that, then you have every right to find that person not guilty and send them home, not to prison. And district attorneys and judges will threaten jurors and say, you have to, if you find that that person actually did that, then you have to find them guilty. That's not true at all. You can judge the law at that trial and nullify the law by finding a person not guilty. That's what means jury nullification. You're nullifying, you're getting on a jury, you're seeing that a person did something that didn't hurt anybody, and the law really stinks, and it's a bad law. Like, I'm sure everybody out there knows plenty of really bad laws that are just making people's life, you know, miserable. All that does is provide, you know, business for the courts. So jury nullification is a fantastic thing to, you know, a fantastic activist activity going on to your courthouse on jury selection day. Now, the courthouses are really quiet right now. But they should not be. They should be busy right now, because with all the people getting hassled and arrested and shut down, these cases should all be going right into the court. A lot of people are just foolishly paying the fines and not challenging it in court. Wisconsin Supreme Court overruled the governor, and everything's opening back up, so you can have victories even in their own court. So I urge people to challenge these things and make a big deal out of it. You get yourself on the social media, get yourself a group of people around town that you can go to court together with. If any one of you has a problem, you go with a dozen people or 20 people. That's a fantastic, that makes a huge difference. The court really pays attention, and you make it clear that this law is not fair. This court has no jurisdiction in this matter. You can pull out all kinds of things about the citizenship and the American national, which is fine. But it has to be done, and people just have to stop senselessly, mindlessly obeying and take it to the next level. Let them write you up. Okay, come on, try to shut down my business. Okay, what do you want to do about it? Okay, first of all, show me all your credentials. Show me the law. And they'll say, well, it's not a law, it's an order. Well, orders don't apply. Only laws apply. The orders of the governor only apply to employees of the state. That's it. They don't apply to the general public. Okay? I'm not interested in contracting with you, and you're out of your jurisdiction. Then you file complaints on everybody involved. File it on their record. It's very legal to do that. It's legal and it's lawful. And it's nonviolent. And it's necessary and it's essential to file complaints when police officers or judges do something wrong. File a complaint. We've been putting up judicial complaint forms at courtroomwatch.com. So people can go there. They can find the PDF file of a judicial complaint form, download it. Fill it out, mail it in. All it costs you is the cost of a stamp for the envelope, and mail it in to the Judicial Complaint Commission. They have to investigate after like three or four. In California, I think I heard it was three complaints against a judge who initiates an investigation. In Connecticut, we had a judge removed after 29 complaints, and she was a very high-level CPS judge taking children from families so the court and the county could get adoption incentives, big money for every child that the court took away from the parents, basically using the courts to kidnap children for profit. And 29 complaints against this judge, and guess what? Her career was terminated at that point. There was no renomination. The Connecticut state legislature said nope, and that was it. And she was put out to pasture where, you know, she should be. So the complaints really do work. They really do help. You can put an end to the career of these judges, and if we start doing it enough times as a group of people, it'll resonate and it'll send a shockwave, so to speak, throughout the whole judicial community, because they have conventions where they get together and they all talk with each other, what's going on, this and that. One of the conventions, and I'm trying to find the video, they were actually talking about how to use the power of the courts to take down freedom people and make people's life miserable if they were, you know, trying to stand up for their freedom, stand up for themselves. And it's very important that we put that out there and, you know, show people that these courts are completely corrupt, they're conspiratorial, they're anti-freedom, they're anti-justice, they're anti-liberty, they're anti-everything this country is founded on. They're a for-profit corporation. And with all the bonded court cases, meaning whenever a court case, what case comes into the court and it's given a docket number, that docket number turns into is used to take out a bond on that case. And then a bond accrues interest as that case goes on. And so they want to drag it on for years. So the interest goes up on that bond. The longer you carry a bond, the more money you make on it. And some of these cases have accrued billions. We found them in the CUSIP accounts. We'll get into that on another broadcast, but that's a fascinating way that it's something the courts don't want people to know about. And if you tell them, hey, we know you're making money on this through the bid bond, the performance bond, and the payment bond through the General Services Administration, they'll turn white as a ghost and go running the other way. I've seen it happen. They'll either turn red in the face or white as a ghost, and I've seen both. One in Brightontown Court and one from another attorney. And so it's real funny. But they don't like to hear that we have outed them and we know what their scam is, which is the bonded court case. So something else I'd like to discuss tonight is something very interesting and kind of a little disturbing. As I watch these political prostitutes, and like I said, I've had the rare opportunity of being around the TV in the past couple of days, and I've got to see, and I'm glad I did, because I'm seeing things that are really telling. Now, I saw this from, I'm going to mention three different people. The former CEO of Walmart, previous to the one that's up there now, the current head of Yahoo Finance, and Andrew Cuomo, Julius Cuomo, the chief executive of New York, who thinks he's a governor. Okay, and all three of these men are blinking their eyes so many times. It took me back to the Desert Storm, when the military analysts were looking at Saddam Hussein, and they were trying to figure out his mindset by analyzing his blinking pattern and how many times he blinked his eyes while he was talking on his TV appearances, his video. And as I'm watching these corporate executives, including Cuomo, the governor of New York, then these big wigs, Walmart, Yahoo Finance, 15 times in 8 seconds. Think about that. That's two blinks per second. They were blinking so much, I thought their eyes were going to pop out of their head. Cuomo looks like his eyes are bugging out of his head. He looks like he's on crystal meth or something. He does not. His eyes are literally bugging out of his head. It's amazing. These people are obviously on something or have some serious, serious mental illness. And the blinking pattern was off the charts. 15 blinks in 7.5 to 8 seconds. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Saddam Hussein did not blink that much. So I thought that was fascinating. We'll jump on to something else here. And then I'm going to sign off for the evening. So last week there was an interview on one of the radio stations with Alan Dershowitz. And Alan Dershowitz is a self-described civil libertarian. And what Alan Dershowitz is saying is the absolute epitome of tyranny and evil. I suggest people look up his recent interviews. He's made the statement that nobody has the right to put anybody else at risk. And if you don't take that vaccine, the government has the right to take you out of your home, take you to a doctor's office or a facility, and shove the needle into your arm by force. And he used words like that. I mean, ridiculously obscene words. You know, we're going to take you. We're going to plunge. I think the word he used was plunge the needle into your arm. I think that was the word he used. All by force, all by kidnapping, all by corporate edict, all pimping drugs for big pharma, calling himself a civil libertarian. So I'd like to break something down for people, because here's a crucial linchpin in the whole word game that the enemy plays with us. Dershowitz describes himself, and others describe him as well, as a, quote, civil libertarian. Now, on the surface, they're intending that to mean, and the people who use those words are hoping people will think they mean some kind of freedom person who loves liberty. And if you're a civil libertarian, then you must be for pro-freedom. You must be a libertarian. Well, here's the problem. Civil rights, civil liberties, the word civil liberties or civil rights is an oxymoron. The two words mean exactly the opposite. Rights or liberties are something you get from your creator. Civil rights are not natural rights. Natural rights come from your creator. Civil rights come from the government. So when you say you're a civil libertarian, you're basically contradicting yourself from the get-go, because if you're a libertarian, you're not interested in civil rights or being a civil libertarian. You're interested in, you're a true libertarian and truly into liberty, then your rights come from God. Your rights come from the Creator. You're born with your rights. They're natural rights. Your rights are unalienable or inalienable. The original pronunciation was inalienable. It wasn't inalienable. It was inalienable, meaning you cannot place a lien or a levy or a condition or a tax or a control against those rights. They're inalienable. That's what the, you know, basically that word inalienable rights, it's actually inalienable. Because you cannot lien those rights. They're unable to be liened, for any lien to be placed against them. Because they've given to you by God. Nobody can take it. They can violate your rights. They can step on you. They can come and tell you do this, that, and the third. But they don't have the standing or the authority to do that. They may have power, but they don't have authority. Authority has to have standing. So civil rights are okay, we know it's already an oxymoron, but let's run with civil rights, the word civil rights. Civil rights are apportioned out by government. They're statutory in nature, meaning they're based on laws passed by the legislature and the corporate government and orders from the governor. Your civil rights are only your rights within the city-state that you're a citizen of. Civil rights are not natural rights. Natural rights are what you have and what you want to assert. That's what you want. You want to be in the natural rights category. Those are the rights that come from the Creator. Those are the rights that are inalienable. Those are the rights that are permanent. They can't be taken away. They can only be violated. So people like Dershowitz want to come out and say, well, I'm a civil libertarian. So that's a loaded word right there. He's already, when he says civil libertarian, where you have civil rights, he's boxing you into the rights that are permitted by the government. So they are really not rights at all. They are merely privileges. So when somebody talks civil rights, civil liberties, civil this, civil that, you're talking about those privileges, those rights that the government thinks that you should have. And those aren't rights. If that's the deal, if the government's going to decide what it is, they ain't rights. They're privileges, which are apportioned out a crumb at a time. Here you go, sheeple. Here, open your mouth and toss a little crumb in there. They give us a little civil right here and a civil right there, and the government jerks around and figures out what's the next civil right that's going to be. And then guess what? They could take those rights from you at any time. So this is why it's so important that we do not concede we're citizens, because citizens, once again, are a legally recognized subject of a state or commonwealth. And as soon as you say you're a citizen and not just a free man or a free woman, you're swearing allegiance to that city-state. So you never want to be a citizen, and you never want to acknowledge civil rights. Okay, those are the two scams, citizen and civil. By the way, when you get into court, almost every action that's taken against you you know, unless you stabbed somebody or shot somebody or done a real violent crime or, you know, committed larceny or something really major, most of the actions are civil. Civil actions. All the tickets that are being wrote on coronavirus, people who aren't wearing the mask, people who are getting a ticket for this or not practicing social distancing, and Cuomo said it, the mayor of Boston said it, the governor of Massachusetts said it, President Trump has said it, the Erie County executive where Buffalo is has said it, they're all, the lieutenant governor has said it, of New York, civil. These will be civil actions. Civil. We'll issue a civil penalty. These will be civil actions against people. The ticket is a civil action. So when you go under a civil action, you're under the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC law, and always remember that when they're executing a civil action against you, because these are not crimes, there's no law that says you have to wear a mask, so it can't be a crime. There's no law that says you have to practice social distancing, so it can't be a crime. It's only orders that are given to you, and violating orders, they're going to claim a civil action against you. They're suing you commercially, basically, when they give you a ticket for no mask, or a ticket for no social distancing, or a ticket for opening up your business. These are civil actions. Now, okay, so you're going to go into court. Don't just pay the fine and be a fool and bend over and, you know, grab your ankles. Go challenge it. Go to court. Let us know at courtroomwatch@gmail.com. Send us an email, courtroomwatch@gmail. And, you know, we'll help however we can. But challenge these things in court. So when you get into court under one of these civil coronavirus actions, whether it's masks, social distancing, opening your business, whatever, having a party, you're going to be under, you know, it's a civil action, okay, we've already established that, and all civil action is under the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC law, okay? Get yourself a copy of the UCC law. Now, under UCC law, which is what you're going to be under for a civil action, okay, so it's not a crime, there's not going to be any constitutional, there's no jury, there's no indictment, there's no grand jury, there's no formal charge by the sheriff, none of the formal things you would have under a real crime. These are all civil actions under UCC law. And under UCC law, you have to have a contract with somebody, not an implied contract, a literal contract. So the first thing you want to do when you challenge these coronavirus situations is say, show me the contract. Oh, hi, Mr. District Attorney. Is this a criminal action? No, it's not. There's not a criminal action. This is a civil matter. Oh, really? Okay, so we're under the Uniform Commercial Code then, huh? This is a commercial action? Can you show me the contract that I signed to consent to your civil action under Uniform Commercial Code? Everything under UCC law is contractual. They have to prove that you contracted with them. And they'll say, well, you got a permit to do your business and you agreed to this or that. You say, no, I didn't. That permit was strictly to open my business. I didn't agree to anything else in that permit. I agreed to open the business with that permit, not close the business down. Show me where I agreed to sign up a permit or a contract to close my business. And that'll throw them off base. It really will. They'll have trouble answering that. You always want to put a question out when you're in court. Make them answer. Don't make statements. Ask questions. So I encourage people to challenge us in court. Everything's going to be UCC law because they're all civil violations. And under UCC law, they have to show you the contract. Where's the contract? Show me the specific contract I signed that I would close my business under the orders from your executive calling himself the governor. And always remember, the governor is not the governor. The governor is the chief executive of the corporation of New York State. Your old government that was a real government, long since gone. Trying to reestablish, and we'll get into that really soon, it's called the Jural Assembly. It's the lawful government reestablishing itself because the corporate government is nothing more than a gang running a business. I heard a woman say it today in a radio interview on the radio. She said, our business is open now, the New York State Legislature. Her business is open now, the New York State Legislature. Oh, really, that's a business? Okay, I'm glad they admitted it. Now I don't have to really stretch to make to the point that New York State is a corporation. We have their own elected officials saying it's a business, the New York State Legislature. Great. I thought it was a government. No, actually, I knew it was a business. But I was hoping it would be a government, and we're hoping it will be a government again someday. So, Alan Dershowitz, the civil libertarian, who knows nothing about liberty, because liberty is based on natural rights, and civil law, civil action, civil rights, civil liberties are nothing more than privileges apportioned out by a corrupt corporate government, one crumb at a time, to the sheeple. Here's your little civil right here. We'll give you another couple of civil rights over there. These are privileges, and we can yank them from you at any time. So no civil rights, natural rights, no citizenship. You're an American national, freeborn on the land. Support the General Assembly, not the illegitimate legislature, and you'll be hearing more about that in the future. And in closing, I'd like to read a few quotes to keep people inspired up for this weekend, Memorial Day. If we're going to remember anybody who died for freedom, and unfortunately most of our wars were wars of conquest, not wars of freedom, at least the modern ones. But, you know, we have to remember that our military took an oath to defend us against enemies foreign and domestic. And we need to insist that our military people get their rear ends home and start defending us against enemies domestic. I encourage everybody in closing tonight to get to church tomorrow. If you're a church person, go. I'm glad I waited to do this blog until tonight for a very interesting reason. I was applauding the bishops, and this is very rare that Eric applauds the bishops, because I know how corrupt they are, but they were about to open up and back up and go have the churches up and running again in defiance of Julius Cuomo, the so-called governor of New York, the self-appointed dictator of New York, Cuomo. They're going to defy him and open up and have churches, and the rumor going around was the bishops were going to open up, and they were making statements, and everybody was happy, and let's go. The lieutenant governor comes out and says, you can only have 10 people at your church service this weekend. What good is that going to do? If there's a pandemic, it's either all or nothing. Them telling you can only have 10 people at church is absurd. And it's has nothing to do with coronavirus. This is command and control-itis. So I was applauding the bishops, and apparently tonight they've completely retracted and caved in. And I didn't see the news report. I'm relying on a very reliable retired school teacher who saw the news report on the Buffalo News that the bishops have caved in, that they've decided they're not going to open. They're going to obey. They're going to wait. And how disgusting is this? Apparently, they specifically said that they need to wait until the arenas are opened up before we can open up the churches. Think about that, and we know what the arenas are. That's your football stadium. Those are your Roman Colosseum, Gladiator Stadium. They're your modern Gladiator Stadium. Take a look at the pictures of the Colosseum in Rome, where the people killed each other and chopped each other and bled to death on the ground, and they fed Christians to lions where they were eaten to death in front of by wild animals. No joke. Some sick stuff went on there. And look at our modern Colosseums. The exact same setup, almost the exact same thing going on, except without as much bloodshed. Same deal. And they're calling them the arenas. Now, how disgusting is that? How Roman is that? We have Gavin Newsom out in California admitting he's a Jesuit. Oh, by the way, when you're watching Gavin Newsom's speech where he admitted he's a Jesuit, and listen to how many times he used the word cohort at least 3 times. Cohort is a Roman word for a legion of soldiers. A group of soldiers in a certain shape, a square, and the cohort is a military term. And he's calling the tracers a cohort now. He's using terms that apply to Roman soldiers. I mean, how more obvious can it be that all roads are leading to Rome? So anyway, the bishops were going to open up, supposedly, and then they retracted and caved in and said, no, we're going to wait. Of all things, we're not going to wait another week because maybe the numbers will spike or people are getting sick and, you know, maybe there's an outbreak getting worse. No, we have to wait till the arenas are open before we open the church. Now, how much more can you serve Caesar and not the Lord by saying a ridiculous statement, we have to wait till the arenas open before we can open the churches? Boy, talk about spitting in the face of God. So, and if anybody is in a place where there are churches opening up and they do have the guts, because I'm sure there's some you know, independent churches that are going to be opening up. I just haven't heard about them. They may want to lay low. They may not. They may want to be publicized. So Can people keep their eyes open for that? Let us know. Give us feedback. CourtroomWatch@gmail.com. You can get a hold of Daniel Leach, L-E-A-C-H, Daniel Leach, that sets up this website, Anti-Deep State Party. And he's all over social media, so he's a really easy guy to get a hold of through Facebook. You can message him. And let us know. But if any churches are open tomorrow, I encourage people to get out there and fill them up. We have to prove to the government that they don't control the churches. The First Amendment applies. The freedom to express your religion and gathering to support the, however you want to do it, is one of those inalienable rights, is one of those natural rights that comes from the Creator. It's not a civil right that's apportioned out by the dictator of New York or the dictator of whatever state you're in. So I'm encouraging massive civil disobedience this weekend. Go out and go to church. What a great way to disobey Caesar. What better way to disobey Caesar and than to serve the Lord and go out and go to church? Now I know that some of the churches suck in their 501c3 corporate nightmares and all that. I know all that. But if you can find yourself a decent church and one, they're going to be open this weekend, man, get out there and support them no matter what. Just for having the balls to do that, please. Okay, a couple of quotes as we're on the way out tonight. John Bryant, who was an author, and I think he was a Georgia statesman, about born about early 1800s, he said, if you are afraid to speak against tyranny, then you are already a slave. Edmund Burke said, the greater the power, the more dangerous the abuse. Couple more before we go. Listen to this one. I don't know. I don't have the quote of who wrote this, but I like this. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. Couple more, then we're going to sign off for the night. I'll probably do another update tomorrow throughout the weekend. Whether or not, let me start here. This is from Florence Allen. She said, each generation must recreate liberty for its own times. Whether or not we establish freedom rests with ourselves. Louis Brandeis said, liberty is the secret of happiness, and courage is the secret of liberty. I like this one here. The Republic was not established by cowards, and cowards will not preserve it. That's Elmer Davis. Alexander is another one on courage. Two more on courage, so people have some guts to refuse the orders from the dictators. And we'll help you in your fight as well. So, two more. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he's the author of the Gulag Archipelago, G-U-L-A-G Archipelago. And he's a Soviet, he was a Russian patriot who was, you know, kind of a, you know, a freedom guy in Russia and during the Soviet days. He was locked up. And he wrote a book called the Gulag Archipelago. Anyway, he said, this is regarding courage. He said, a decline in courage may be the most striking feature that an outside observer notices in the West today. The Western world has lost its civic courage. That means nobody's getting involved, and as long as we stay uninvolved, we stay enslaved. Last one, Winston Churchill. Now, I have some issues with Churchill, okay? I know all about some things about Churchill, but this one was good. He said, courage is the foremost of all the virtues, for without it, you may never get to experience any of the others. With that, I'm going to sign off. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer saying, please join the Army of the Awakened. Follow us at courtroomwatch.com. Get involved by downloading PDF files of judicial complaint forms and complaint forms against specific police officers that are enforcing these absurd, ridiculous orders, as if we're in their military or something. File complaints. Once you file complaints against them, they're going to get removed from their position, and that's good. They need to be, you know, cleaning toilets somewhere and not out there with a gun telling people to stay apart from the ones that they love. So get involved by following us at CourtroomWatch.com. Continue to follow these audio blogs, which are automatically being posted at the Anti-Deep State Party. And then I believe Daniel is reposting on Facebook. But they could pull the plug and start censoring on Facebook at any time. They already are. But, I mean, they could do it, you know, to us, in which case, check out the AntideepStateParty.com for an immediate, these blogs usually get posted within an hour or two of their completion. So I'll hang up here on Saturday night, May 23rd, it's 11 o'clock, about 10 after 11 Eastern, in Saturday evening. And, probably by midnight or within a couple hours, it'll be up at the Anti-Deep State Party. And then we're also posting at CourtroomWatch.com, so it's there. We're trying to get it out, you know, of course, on Twitter as well and the social media platforms. If you can assist us in doing that, that would be huge. I need everybody hearing this to be a force multiplier, so to speak, and blast this out to 10 people or 20 people or 100 people or however you can get it. Be creative. Think outside the box. Pull up the email list for, like, a university student organizations or student union or the Freedom Caucus at a university or, you know, some, you know, Second Amendment groups or constitutionalists. You know, groups and gatherings that have the universities, clubs, and stuff, and find them and send them links to all this because we're going to be very rich in solutions here coming up. We're going to be posting papers up online that people can file that legally assert themselves as an American national, not a citizen. You can take your name back so the courts and the government can't use your name and trade, which is what they're doing, making a fortune on it, and you don't even know it. And so we're going to have all these solutions coming up. So if you can blast this out, we don't just sit here and complain. We bring you interesting intelligence updates and some really good solutions that you're not going to hear anybody else. A lot of these other alternative media people just don't have the guts to really reveal this to people. I'm not sure why. They're either foolish or they're working for the enemy. So anyway, CourtroomWatch.com, AntideepStateParty.com. Single Parents, helping singleparents.org. That's a great one. That's a place where single parents can network and find other single parents in your area. And Daniel set that up a few years back, and it's a really good, you know, service. So none of these are money makers, people. This is just we're looking just to help people out and provide a network for people to get together, do things in groups. We've got to get back together to get back to doing things in groups. Don't buy into this whole stay-apart thing. This whole stay-apart thing's playing right into the Chinese model of gatherings of more than 10 people, I think it was in China, have been banned for years, decades. They've had this law in the books in China for years. Stay apart from people. Stay away. So how convenient that they have this now after Virginia and all those protests down there for the gun rights. And in Hong Kong, millions protesting in the streets. God, where'd that go? That got dissolved pretty quick, huh? How convenient for the powers that be. The New York protests, vaccine freedom people who want to be left alone and not have Alan Dershowitz and company claiming to be libertarians, civil libertarians, of course, plunging needles into people's arms by force. That protest. So all these protests were going on, and all of a sudden coronavirus comes out, and people are told, stay away, stay apart, stay away, 6 feet apart, stay home, stay away. Don't get together with people. Don't protest. Don't get together. Stay, go, go, bye-bye. Sit home. We'll deliver everything to your house. Please do not go out and protest because then the system's going to really be in big trouble. But I got news for you. A great awakening is occurring. You all out there are not alone. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. There's people in legal positions trying to reassert our status and reestablish the land jurisdiction, government, the General Assembly, and have things the way they're supposed to be in a constitutional republic. Right now you're living under a corporation that gives orders to its employees. And as long as you're a citizen, you're their employee. That's it. So continue to follow us. Blast this out to everybody you can. I hope people enjoyed this and found something interesting in here. Follow up on that Gavin Newsom thing. Check out his press conference where he admits he's a Jesuit. And then after you do that, go online and watch a very interesting documentary entitled Vatican Secret Societies and the New World Order, full documentary. Once again, watch Gavin Newsom in his most recent press conference admit that he's a Jesuit, and then go online and type in Vatican Secret Societies and the New World Order, full documentary, okay? Vatican Secret Societies and the New World Order. It's about a 2-hour and 2 to 3-hour documentary.
excellent, very well sourced, very well done. I never knew that Abraham Lincoln made specific quotes talking about how the Jesuits and the Vatican had instigated the Civil War, and the case is made on how that's done. And wait till you see this documentary. It's fascinating. Okay, so Gavin Newsom, Vatican Secret Societies and the New World Order. And we'll check in with you this later this weekend. I want to thank everybody for being there. Hang tight, hang together, or we hang separately. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer, over and out.